I'm Mike Rash, an Australian correspondent based in Jerusalem, reporting for Sitrep Israel. Welcome to another episode of Sitrep Israel, an automated situational report covering Israel's security fronts. This Sitrep was generated on Friday, the 1st of May 2026 at 10:52 Israel time, 7:52 UTC. Israel braces for Iran fighting to resume as Trump briefed on military options. The U.S.-Iran ceasefire is approaching a critical juncture as the war powers resolution deadline arrives, with the Trump administration claiming hostilities have terminated. That claim, however, is running headlong into a very different reality on the ground. CENTCOM Commander Admiral Brad Cooper and Joint Chiefs Chairman General Dan Kane briefed President Trump on new operational strike plans against Iran in a 45-minute session that included a request to deploy hypersonic missiles to the Middle East. The briefing came as Iran is reportedly digging out buried missiles and other weapons from underground storage, a clear signal that Tehran is preparing for the ceasefire to collapse. U.S. intelligence assesses Iran may be ready to renew drone and missile attacks if the war resumes, while the Iranian government is using the truce to rehabilitate its missile forces. The administration's assertion that hostilities are terminated has drawn scrutiny, given that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth previously described the ceasefire as a pause, not a termination. Now, turning to the regional sections. In Iran, the internal political cost of the negotiations is becoming visible. President Masoud Pezeshkian and Parliament Speaker Mohammed Bakar Ghalibaf are reportedly seeking to dismiss Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi over his handling of talks with the U.S., alleging he acted more as a personal assistant to IRGC Commander Ahmad Vahidi than as a government representative. Pezeshkian told associates that Araghchi did not properly update him on the talks and operated directly through Vahidi, warning he would fire him if this continues. The naval blockade is also showing effects inside Iran, with stores reporting empty shelves. Tanker traffic through the Hormuz choke point sits at just over 5 vessels per day, 9% of pre-war levels, while U.S. gas prices have hit $4.30 per gallon, up 43% year-to-date. Iranian leadership continues to dismiss the blockade publicly, with Parliament Speaker Ghalibaf challenging its feasibility and President Pezeshkian calling it an extension of military operations against independent nations. In Lebanon, Hezbollah's drone threat continues to escalate. The group is believed to possess thousands of explosive-laden drones, including rudimentary models purchasable online for a few hundred dollars, according to Israeli army estimates. Haaretz described Lebanon as the most difficult and bloody arena currently, noting that increasing IDF casualties are raising questions within the army about whether the objective justifies the risk. An Israeli security official told Channel 13 that Israel must penetrate deep into Lebanon, bomb Beirut, and not withdraw from there, reflecting growing frustration with the limitations of current operations. Southern sources report the emergence of an expanded red zone adjacent to the yellow line, extending to the outskirts of Nabatea over an area exceeding 35 kilometers in width and reaching about 25 kilometers deep into Lebanese territory. Dozens of villages are now subject to shelling or evacuation warnings, triggering additional waves of displacement. The Lebanese Ministry of Health reported 2 killed and 10 injured in an airstrike on Nabatea al-Faqa, and 1 woman killed and 3 injured, including a child, in a strike on the town of Haruf. Despite increased pressure on supply routes, Hezbollah continues to arm itself, with Lebanese authorities seizing only 1 truckload of drones since June. On the diplomatic front, President Joseph Aoun responded to Netanyahu's claims of coordination by saying the Israeli Prime Minister does not even respond to Trump, and what matters is that Lebanon does not go to negotiations before the cessation of hostilities. Efforts to arrange a visit by Aoun to Washington are frozen, with the president wary of a trip that ends with a photo alongside Netanyahu without clear gains on ceasefire and withdrawal. The U.S. informed Aoun that there are no guarantees of a comprehensive ceasefire before a visit, and that withdrawal will be an item in negotiations, not a precondition. The U.S. Embassy in Lebanon urged Aoun to meet with Netanyahu directly, suggesting it could mark the beginning of a national revival and lead to an IDF pullout. In Gaza, international condemnation continues following Israel's interception of the global Sumud flotilla in international waters. Spain summoned the Israeli Charge d'Affaires and strongly protested the detention of 175 activists, including 31 Spanish citizens. Spanish Foreign Minister José Manuel Albares contacted organizers and foreign ministers of countries with citizens aboard, Protests took place outside Israel's consulate in Barcelona with over 400 participants, while thousands demonstrated across several Italian cities. In Stockholm, protests erupted with police detaining at least one person. Reporters Without Borders condemned Israel for what it called the kidnapping of three journalists on board the flotilla. New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani criticized the detentions as unlawful, while Foreign Minister Gideon Saar stated participants would be transferred to Greek territory. Separately, on May Day, Gaza's workers are finding whatever source of income they can amid economic collapse, with unemployment soaring. In the West Bank, Israeli settlers drove their vehicle close to homes in the town of Rabah, north of the occupied territory, as part of what was described as daily harassment against Palestinians. On the multilateral track, Palestinian soccer chief Jibril Rajoub refused to shake hands with the Israel Football Federation vice president at a FIFA event, accusing FIFA's president of failing to understand the deep suffering of the Palestinian people. Meanwhile, President Trump backed FIFA's decision to allow Iran to compete in the World Cup in the United States, with matches remaining on American soil. Moving to the analysis. First, the trend. The tempo of Iran-Israel tensions is accelerating toward a potential kinetic break, shifting from diplomatic posturing to concrete military preparations. Over the trailing 7 days, the protagonist set has narrowed from a multi-front dynamic involving Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis to a direct U.S.-Iran-Israel triangle. The ceasefire, which previously appeared to be holding despite violations, is now openly described by both sides as a pause likely to collapse. This marks a qualitative escalation from the April 30th window, where the primary risk was Hezbollah drone attrition, to a systemic confrontation posture. On the information environment, the split is between a U.S.-Israeli narrative of terminated hostilities and an Iranian narrative of resistance preparing for betrayal. The Trump administration is pushing the line that the war powers resolution is moot because the conflict is over, a framing that allows it to bypass Congress while keeping military options open. Iran, through its state media, dismisses the blockade as ineffective and frames its missile unearthing as defensive readiness against a truce collapse it blames on the U.S. The gap between reporting and evidence is widest around the ceasefire status. The U.S. claims termination, but Iran's actions suggest an imminent resumption of hostilities. And the synthesis, the simultaneous U.S. strike briefing and Iranian missile unearthing, are not coincidental but likely reflect a mutual, albeit tacit, acceptance that the ceasefire is a dead letter. The pattern suggests both sides are using the truce to reset for a more intense phase, the U.S. to refine targeting and deploy hypersonics, Iran to reconstitute its dispersed missile forces. The specificity of the U.S. briefing and Iran's physical excavation of buried weapons indicate operational timelines, not just posturing. The flotilla crisis and Hezbollah's drone buildup are secondary accelerants, providing both sides with casus belli narratives while the core confrontation matures. And now, the recent indicators and dual-lens predictions. Three indicators to watch. First, check Flight Radar 24 for unusual Iranian military cargo flights between Tehran Mehrabad and Bandar Abbas over the next 24 hours, focusing on IRGC-affiliated carriers like Puya Air or Yas Air. Second, review Sentinel-1 SR imagery of Iran's Fordo and Natanz nuclear sites from the May 1st descending pass for signs of surface excavation or new berms indicating missile preparation. Third, monitor the Telegram channel Sabarin News for posting cadence and imagery of Hezbollah drone assembly or launch sites in southern Lebanon, particularly near Nabatieh, over the next 48 hours. Looking at the predictions through a status quo lens, within 48 hours, Iran will not launch a direct missile or drone attack against Israel or U.S. assets in the region. The Iran-Israel ceasefire will hold through May 3rd with no resumption of direct kinetic exchange. By May 3rd, Hezbollah will conduct at least 3 drone attacks on IDF positions in southern Lebanon, causing no more than 5 casualties. Now, looking at the same indicators through an escalation lens, within 72 hours, Iran will conduct a medium-range ballistic missile test from a site near Semnan, publicly framing it as a defensive exercise in response to the U.S. strike briefing, with low confidence. By May 4th, Israel will launch a limited airstrike on a Hezbollah drone assembly facility near Nabatieh, resulting in at least 10 Lebanese casualties and a Hezbollah rocket barrage on northern Israel, with low confidence. Before May 3rd, the U.S. will announce the deployment of a hypersonic missile battery to Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar, citing the evolving threat from Iran, with low confidence. That concludes this Sitrep. For more, visit sitrepisr.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_Sitreps. This is Mike Rash, signing off from Jerusalem.